Do I have to read this?
Do you have the money you owe?
No.
Then read.
All right, fine. David Hatta here. Everyone knows nothing makes football action more fun than a little gambling. Come on down to Petros Sportsbook, located in the back of the Ponkaki Pawn Shop in Sunken Valley. Petros makes it fun to wager, with straight bets, parlays, pleasers, reverses, Asian handicaps, and more. Wagering is worry-free with Petros' No Knives policy. We'll work with you to settle bets, to ensure we'll never have to cut you or someone you love. And don't just take it from me, here's James McAvoy. What the? You got James McAvoy?
Yes, he owes me money!
Well, James McAvoy bets on football.
He bet on Guardians of Galaxy.
What does that mean?
He bet how many times the raccoon was going to say certain phrase.
What was that phrase?
I'm going to rakill you.
Was that ever in the movie?
No.
How many times did he think he was going to say?
7. Read the rest.
Okay. You said it, James. And remember, at Petros Sportsbook, there are 100 ways to pay. Money, jewels, indentured servitude, electronics, home titles, nude housekeeping, invaluable wisdom, magic totems, the rights to a Jamba Juice franchise, and more. Plus, if you aren't happy with your wager, I, David Hatta, will personally let you punch me in the throat. There's no way I'm doing that.
Too late, I haven't recorded. Now get out.
God, jeez. Hey, folks, this is the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hatta.
My name is Mac Blake, and this is Mascot Wedding Show, episode 282, The Legend of...
The Horny Spaceship.
That's right. We are your podcast lions. We're recording here in Austin, Texas, from the Hodgecast Studios, a.k.a. the Hodge Pound. And we're brought to you by Sex Toys. Just like, well, time out. What was that sound effect?
That was the sound of everyone's sex toy.
Oh, okay.
It was it might have just been a repurposed Dancing James Brown doll, but I cut a hole in the back.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Why does adamandeve.com think that podcast listeners just need something up their butts at all times?
Because I feel like to record a podcast, you kind of already have something up your butt a little bit. It's like, oh, well, now I'm just going to put this out to the people. And while you're at it, lube up.
Buy some free lube. I bet they get free lube with every purchase.
You dry old holes.
David Hatta, how are you doing?
I'm shooting hot tonight. I'm exhausted, but I'm good. I'm doing well, man.
Ooh, let's dig deeper into that later in the show.
Sure. How are you, Mac Blake?
I'm doing well. I am about to explode with sweat because I'm dying, whatever you want to say.
Dying of sweat.
My car does not have air conditioning anymore. And we are in Austin, Texas, in August.
Yeah.
And it's the fucking worst.
It's swelter country now.
Every stoplight is its own little private hell.
So you're up to carrying 3 t-shirts in the car now?
I just don't go anywhere people will see me.
Yeah.
That don't know me.
Just put a slicker down on the seat and just hope for the best.
Basically, it's like I now live in like Mad Max's world, where it's like, you want to go to Target? Can't. Light out.
Yeah.
Not safe.
I had to do a show. Sorry to interrupt your sweat talk, but I had to do a show on Friday. I left work to go to the theater. It is about 2 miles away. And by the time I got there, yeah, sweated out the shirt. I was like, okay, well, I've got an hour and a half to dry out before the show. I didn't dry out. Still sweaty.
Man, you must have swamp body.
Oh, I do. I'm in a gross place right now. Yeah.
Speaking of gross places, let's introduce our guest. Our in-studio guest, ladies and gentlemen, he's a comedian based here in Austin. He's performed at a lot of fun stuff. For example, he's been on Comedy Central and has performed at the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal. He's also, this is the second time on the show, which makes him a friend of the show,
yeah.
Mr. Brian Gutman.
Hey, turn that sex toy off.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up? You got zoo radio energy right now.
Seriously.
Yes. That's all I want in the podcast world is that friend of the show status. Mm-hmm. That is all I want.
There you go. You're here now.
Yes. You can get used to it.
Get discounts at places with that.
Hey, so do you have like satellite radio, right, David?
I do. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh.
Now,
I make that kind of money. Yeah.
Ching.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, was that me?
Well, do they have like zoo radio shows on satellite radio?
Well, yes and no. I mean, they don't have like
where zoo radio can just be itself.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, like without like FCC regulations, are they allowed to be like, fuck it? Oh, I just said fuck. Yeah. Hey, you know, instead of like beating around the bush.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, because I mean, that's, you know, Stern transferred there, and then Opie and Anthony transferred to satellite radio. So once they moved there, it was like, cool, our show's going to be different. Now we can say fuck before the thing we were going to do anyway. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'll throw baloney at butts. But we also get to say the N-word every once in a while. Like, cool.
Are they really just like, show me your cockhead?
Yeah. It's really like, oh, I'm going to staple my foreskin to something.
Oh,
great.
God,
they don't really do that.
Okay.
That's in my book of ideas.
Yeah, in my mind, because I've never had satellite radio. And so as far as I know, those are just the shows where, like, you can just say whatever you want, but it's not necessarily the zoo crew
right,
or whatever.
Exactly.
But so is there some show on there that's just like, oh, we just get to go full zoo?
I haven't found it, but I'm sure there is. I mean, like, there are 200 channels.
Right.
And there's something for everybody. So surely someone, like, bought satellite radio thinking, oh, man, I can't wait to hear the worst Cleveland, Ohio has to offer. Let's hear Fart Man and the Dingus or whatever.
Well, instead of like naming their dumb sidekicks like Lunchbox or something, it's like, hey, here's my, we'll do what our bro Twat Sweat is doing.
Let's throw it to Queer Puncher. Like, all right, I guess we're not hiding anything anymore.
Give people what they want.
God, how do you even get the name Lunchbox? Grown man's name?
Real guy in Austin, that terrible. Actually, you know what? I was about to shit on Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
But occasionally he does sports talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only heard it, I heard it twice, but he's good at sports talk.
He's better than local radio at sports talk.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it was him and Andy Roddick, though. Yeah. So it was like,
are they still local dudes, all those people?
He moved to Kentucky.
Tennessee,
yeah.
But they're like this big syndicated thing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. He's based out of like their country station now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I mean he's national. Good for him. But at the same time, Lunchbox? Seriously? Like
Lunchbox.
You better fucking look like a Lunchbox, dude. You better be a fat sack of shit.
It's so weird because the thing of the people we know who have a stage name and a real name, but then they just go to the store and just have to live with Lunchbox.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn it. My name's Steve.
Chicken wing. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, he's a nice guy otherwise, but right. God damn it.
So speaking of the Hodgecast, Charlie Hodge, that is his stage name.
Yeah.
And somebody was talking to me forever about, it was at one of the Charlie shows, his old Monkey Shine Monday show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And somebody was talking to me forever about this other dude. And I was like, who is that? And they're like, it's Charlie's real name, you idiot. And they were mad at me about it. Not knowing. Ugh. I didn't even know it was a fake name at the time.
Yeah. I'm learning that right as you speak.
Oh.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Morning radio is a weird world that people are in.
Yeah.
It's like finding out about like a subculture, you know, you don't know about.
Right.
Like when I get in my car, you know, I listen to like sports talk or NPR, and I don't really listen to like a lot of morning radio, but then there'd be people at work and be like, man, did you hear what Jason and Deb said today? And I'm like, what? Who? But because I've started listening more and more to Dudley and Bob, which is a radio show here in Austin.
Of course.
Because Matt Bearden, stand-up, is like the third voice on that show. It's now like the Dudley and Bob show with Matt Bearden.
Yeah.
And so I've started like listening to it more and paying attention to like the people that are just obsessed with it or whatever.
Yeah.
The mega fans,
Which,
crazy obsessed.
I mean, good for them. I'm not saying that people are obsessed like they're, you know, lunatics or whatever.
Yeah, they're not cutting themselves.
Yeah, I mean, because there's shows that like, you know, I like a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Just does not happen to be, you know, something that's on every morning from starting like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's when they start too. Like, so as like in the morning, if you get on like Twitter or something, they are basically, they're live tweeting the show as much as the show is tweeting stuff out about their own show. Like, they were just following and posting along with it the whole time.
That sounds exhausting.
See, maybe that's more it than anything. Just like the idea that, like, it's like, oh man, when people are like watching SNL and are like tweeting about it or watching a sports game.
Yeah.
But the idea that something like that exists, but it starts so early.
Yeah,
I've got to wake up at 2 in the morning just to amp up for this for my job.
The fact that event programming starts that early is crazy.
I like that. Yeah. When we had our show on the radio, we tried to incorporate the, you know, Twitter and like, hey, tweet us, whatever.
Yeah.
but we could not be bothered to check it and be like, oh, shit, it's the top of the hour. We forgot to check it. Let's check it right now. But, like, they're on top of it throughout the day.
Wow.
Good for them.
Wow.
In fact, yeah, we didn't. Damn it. We didn't check our, hey, leave us a review on iTunes. We'll thank you on air. On air? You know, yeah. We'll thank you on cast.
I think it's a pretty safe gamble that no one has reviewed it since the last time we thanked people.
Fair enough.
I'll tell you, big fan.
Oh.
Big fan.
Friend of the show, this guy.
I know. Friend of the show.
I love your energy right now. It is like watching an alien planet. I have no.
It's a episode from back a ways with Kath Barbadoro.
Mm-hmm. Barbadoro.
Barbadoors. The Doors. And I really wanted you guys to make T-shirts. On the front, it says, watching us crash and burn like a Challenger. And then on the back say, technically it didn't crash. Oh, God. That was a moment at the top of the show that you probably don't remember that I laughed, never laughed harder at a national tragedy.
Yay,
in
good.
My life.
Well, I don't know. Did I talk about this in the show? Like, later that week, somebody mentioned something about the Challenger to Kath, and she was like, yeah, my family was friends with one of those people. So I really don't. I mean, that's very personal for me, or something like that. And then I was like, oh, Kath, I would retroactively like to apologize.
Whoa, is she being serious? Because that's a weird thing to still hold on to.
Yeah. I mean, it's I guess so. But I mean, it's still, whatever.
Especially, like, I feel like you have to, first of all, I understand. Mm-hmm. But you also then have to hear those words coming out of your mouth when you're saying, this is very personal to me. Like, you are acknowledging that this is still kind of, like, this is obviously the thing that is personal to you.
Yeah.
And so, that's the weird thing with comedy is, like, there's going to be that 1% person in the back of the room who's just like, that's not cool. Yeah. That is not cool.
But also, she's basically, not to disparage her or anything like that, but, like,
let's do
it. But this person is claiming ownership of a national thing. Or it's like, you know,
yeah.
I wish you would make that David Koresh joke, like, I live next to the Branch Davidian compound. It's like, hey, that was a national story. We're allowed to have a point of view on it. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah.
And this is comedian Kath Barbadoro, who I'm probably misrepresenting. So I'll put an asterisk there, Kath. Apologies.
And I also feel like I'm digging into her way too much. I do not mean to at all.
I have a joke about shooting myself. And this lady was like, man, I loved your set. You know, except that part about killing yourself, because you have to realize out there, like, I had a friend who committed suicide, and that's personal for me, and I just was like, they're jokes.
Yes.
gotta go make jokes. They're just jokes.
And you can also, you can't be too your frequency can't be in tune to everybody. Like,
oh yeah.
I mean,
it's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, you remember the time we were doing a show, we were doing a Master Pancake show in a movie theater.
Yeah.
And this was right after the Dark Knight Rises tragedy. And Mac, not thinking in that way at all,
right,
was like, you know, he was alluding to the fact that, hey, you know, we're gonna mow you down with comedy. So he was like, and I kind of gave him a look like, oh, that's weird.
A bird.
But he wasn't thinking that at all,
right?
And
yes.
I knew that.
I think I was talking about how Optimus Prime likes murdering robots. And I was on stage and I just was like, take that, theater, or something.
Yeah, that is a weird part of, I've only seen, I think I saw the first two of those movies, but it is weird. Like, first of all, there's too much detail in those robots. Now this is just like a Magic Eye poster. You can't focus on anything. And then it is like, you'll see, like, there will be some Transformer facing the screen, and then a sword comes out through his stomach and works its way up through the rest of his cavity until he's split in half, and there's a robot spine spilling out. It's just like, this is a Mortal Kombat fatality for kids.
And
this
also,
is disgusting.
It's a completely useless fatality because you're not puncturing its lung. Oh, no, I got its organs.
Right,
guys.
You know, I had to watch... I was probably going to anyway.
Yeah.
But I had to watch that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
I was going to ask you that.
And for another podcast.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And which I think they're just doing a test recording, so.
Oh, was it the show called How Do I Get Paid?
Yeah. And it was just like that. Like, the turtles are, it's the Michael Bay style junkiness.
Right.
Where everything's hyper detailed to the point of, it's just the garbage design. Like, you can't make it. Like, I didn't notice until, like, the denouement of the movie, if you will, I think, I want to say it was Donatello, was wearing like a samurai-style skirt made out of solar panels. I couldn't even pick up on that detail because, you know, like the turtles, like they're hyper detailed. Yeah, it's just over a mess.
It's just a mess. That's all it is. It's just a pile of garbage.
It's designed to sell high-end TVs, but that's about it. Like once you're in the theater, like I can't tell any of this.
Right. Yeah. Ugh, God, it's so disappointing.
Yeah, everything. It's like the turtles went shopping at the little cave that Ariel the mermaid had. It was covered in garbage. Also, in those first Ninja Turtles movies, and even the cartoon show, I never was like, oh, living in the sewer must be gross. At this point, though, because of what they're wearing and the way that everything has to be like at some point they're like sliding in the sewer and there's all this sewer water. Yeah. This is like, I'm getting a little nauseous.
Yeah, did they stand up from the water to like have chunkies on them? I was like,
I don't know.
How has that never been a sketch?
Seriously.
Where, you know, there's the foot soldiers somewhere, something's going down, and the turtles jump into the scene, do like a little pose, and then everyone else in the room is like, what is that smell? Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Like, they're throwing up in their masks.
They drop their weapons like, oh, I'm not picking it back up. Yeah. Fuck that.
Oh, God. Please don't punch me. The pain is one thing, but you touching my face is way worse.
You can punch me out, but just don't let me fall. Just grab me by the scruff and keep punching me.
Have you guys seen like ads though or trailers for the Turtles movie at all?
Oh sure, yeah.
Did you notice that Splinter was not in those ads
at all?
I read about that, but I didn't see.
Was there a reason
why? He's disgusting. It's like he's one of those like hairless mole rats or whatever.
Oh
like, he's mostly hairless except for like long greasy Fu Manchu tufts of hair coming off his face, and also voiced by Tony Shalhoub.
Oh my god.
Turtles. Something like that. It's real bad.
If I go onto the street, I will be murdered in the daylight like a dog.
Oh, Jesus.
You know that wise old ninja monk? Actually, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, not ninja, but.
Where's that mashup where Splinter's in the sewer, but he has the sensibilities of monk and he's like not touching
the super
anything?
OCD. Yeah. Oh,
really,
my God.
Really clean.
That's why he never leaves the sewer. He's paralyzed.
Yeah. He doesn't want to step down.
Yeah.
So David, you mentioned at the top of the show that you're tired, you're exhausted.
Exhausted, yeah.
Ooh. Pushed to your limit. What's up?
It's just one of those things where, like, does your body ever do that thing where it wakes up? Like you don't...
All the time.
Every goddamn day.
Once a day.
Don't need to brag.
But, like, when was the last time you had sleep until you couldn't sleep anymore?
Oh.
That's because, like, I've been waking up at 8 o'clock, like, even on weekends, and I have no reason to wake up at 8 o'clock.
Hmm. Actually, someone recently, because I traveled, I was on a little vacay.
Yeah.
And I took a 4-hour nap.
Oh, God damn it. What are those days?
So good.
Yes.
One of those days. When you don't want to wake up, bed's real comfy. Is that the next lyric?
Cut someone's head off.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, wasn't that part of the song?
What? Weird. It is a
comfortable bed we're talking about.
A comfy Sunday song.
One of those days, don't want to change out your jams. Is that right?
We are recording this on a Sunday, and I say that because before the show, I stopped by the convenience store to get a water, and this guy was walking out carrying a Dr. Pepper and a bag of Cheetos. Mm-hmm. And straight from my brain to my mouth without any filter, out loud, I looked at that and I go, yeah, that's a Sunday. And I got really sad. I was like, man, I wish I had that kind of time where I could sit around and drink a Dr. Pepper and eat some Cheetos.
My first thought would have flown out of my mouth is, oh, that's your breakfast. Oh, dear.
But I know what you're talking about. Like, I woke up today and I didn't even have to look at my phone. I was like, it's 8. I can feel that it is 8 o'clock. But yeah, it's something where... Either now I either have to do something on the weekend or it's my time. I don't want to waste it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, I got this dumb dog now. Dogs always got to pee outdoors.
Dumb dog.
Just a cute piece of shit.
New thing?
No, it's well, I've had it less than a year.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not done destroying our house yet.
Yeah.
Man, it touched them all. It got the only, there was like this one chair that looked semi-nice in the place.
Yeah.
And the dog was like, not on my watch. This will not stand. And then it ate it. It ate that chair.
Not to make you self-conscious about comedy, but that is a great comedy voice. Oh, I don't think so.
That's my kid voice.
Yeah.
Also my dog or anything else.
Such a good one. Such a good one.
I don't want to get molested. That's why I got a joke about that.
Yeah.
That was not quoting the dog still.
So my car.
Yes.
Something else I want to talk about. My car is, the AC broke.
Yeah.
And they quoted me a price to fix it, and that price is about the same price of my car, or its value.
Yeah.
And so I need to fucking buy a new car. And I was talking about this before the show. I've never bought one before.
Yeah.
Like, like the last time I was going to get a car, there was some weird family thing where my it's like, hey, your grandmother wants to buy you a car. I was like, why? Because your dad needs one. What? My
Take
dad.
It.
Yeah, exactly. My dad needed a car, and my grandmother was like, I'll buy Mac a car, and then you can have Mac's old car. And like, well, why don't you just buy, your Max, my dad a car? It's like, my mom explained it, because it's my mom's mom. Huh. My dad is not blood relative to her.
Oh my goodness! Oh.
She only wants to buy a car for a blood relative. What the fuck?
This is like some modern day Game of Thrones shit or something.
Let him own the cherries. Yeah.
That is weird.
Here's your car, you dirty little half breed.
Yeah, that is a strange self-imposed policy.
It was weird.
Yeah.
And so I was,
that is some alpha dog and shit. I love your grandma.
I was going down to San Antonio where my parents live to look at, because my dad wanted to look at cars. I was like, all right, we'll go look at cars. And on the way down, he's like, where are you? Because always mad at me. He's like, we already got a car. Just bring a proof of employment. And that's how I ended up with a car with leather seats.
Yeah.
But only cost me $2,000
right.
for a new car. So I'm going to take that.
Fuck
Even
yeah.
though Graham bought me a Ford Taurus.
Fast forward to a car with no AC and leather seats.
Yeah. Oh, man. It is a trip.
Fuck that.
But David, you bought a car somewhat recently, right?
Yeah, a couple years ago. Yeah.
Nice. So when you, besides I can read stuff online, but then when it comes to find a dealership or whatever, how do you do that?
Man, this whole thing, I'm embarrassed to say it all because, I don't know, this was the coolest I ever felt and also the dumbest I ever felt because I had a specific car in mind. I had a specific, I want to pay this much for this kind of car.
Wow,
and
nice.
I got, a 2011 Ford Focus. It's not luxury.
Right.
But I knew that's what I could afford, and I'd been renting cars for the previous 2 years. So I was like, I like the Ford Focus. I'm going to buy this.
Yeah.
Went online. Found a dealership with a website that showed all their stuff, and they had one listed, and I was like, that's the one. And I walked into there, and here's, the thing anyone says when they buy a car is like, the price they give you is, you got to negotiate it down. Man, I was in no mood. I walk in there, I was like, that price you got on there, just give it to me.
Yes.
I want to be out of here by lunch. And I was. Like, I walk in there at 10 a.m., I was out of there by 1:30. I had bought a car.
Right.
I don't want to deal with,
Why would you?
Yeah, because it's such a waste of time to play this game that they're enjoying and you're not.
That blows my mind that something like that,
it's still legal?
It's still I'm still supposed to haggle.
Yeah.
Can't you just fucking tell me what it costs?
Exactly.
Holy shit, fuck you. Just give me the that no hassle price. I think I'm leaning towards those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you can, if you have the freedom to do that sort of thing, absolutely do that. It was such a load off because I'm not sitting there car dealerships aren't the most fun place anyway, where it's like, oh, yeah, you do that, I'll hit the water slide. No, I'm going to be sitting in this chair watching Maury for 4 fucking hours.
No, but I do remember going with my parents when they bought a car, and I was like, why did that take 9 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're willing to pay the convenience charge of paying what they ask you to, you're out of there that day.
I mean, I guess, See, now I don't know.
I'm sorry that wasn't tip and trick.
I think a good jumping off point to finding the dealership you want to work with, get online and do a Google search for, type in the exact opposite of Scott Elder and see what that comes up with.
Oh, you mean Scott Elder, that weird Austin guy?
He's for the people.
Yeah.
I have no idea who Scott Elder is, but everyone talks about him like he's the worst.
He is!
Really bad TV and really bad radio ads. Oh. And his radio ads, if I find one, I'll stick one on the end of the show. Because it's it's this weird rhyme or whatever.
Just a big pun marathon.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, God. It's like, can I get a topic from the audience? And he's like, all right, pun time. And then he just puns the whole 30 seconds.
No.
Yes.
He's trying to sell people on him. Why is he doing that?
Yeah. Plus,
he's got a voice like this.
Yeah.
Hey, it's me, Scott Elder.
It's like one of the it's like an Owen Wilson, but more weird.
Hi, I'm Fred Schneider, and I'm trapped in a well. Yeah. It's Dupree is trying to sell you a car.
go to that one where the guy in the commercial does Austin Powers. That's a fun bit.
Is that Charles Mond, that fucking racist?
No.
That was the guy who was like, oh, Mr. Car.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, karate chop prices. Oh, like, wow,
God.
Dude.
Is that... Oh my God! Did he do that?
Let's not.
Okay, sure.
Let's not say it's Charles Mond, but it's someone like that.
I think it is a Charles Mond. All right,
fucking
oh,
Charles Mond.
Oh Christ! Yeah, I would.
Why a car? Why eating your dog?
Yeah, when he would do that Austin Power shit on TV, I would start taking pictures of it and tweeting at him and saying, "Stop doing this."
Did you have a timestamp on you? It was like, "Hey, it is 2014."
Oh yeah. I would do that. I would say it is. Yeah, 2014. Also, you're not good at this impression. Yeah. What are you doing?
So this guy, this used car, I don't know if it's used. No, it's new.
I think it's new,
It's a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And he comes on and he's like, yeah, baby, I got pro deals. And he's like, Austin Powers trying to sell you a car. And it really did have that feeling of like, okay, he's the boss at this place. And he's like, hey, you know what would be a real kick in the pants? If I made fun of that Austin Powers guy. Right? Austin, remember him? Yeah. Oh, man, that's a killer idea. And everyone's like,
this guy signs my checks.
Yeah. Great A idea, Charles.
You've done it again, Chuck.
Mr. Mond.
Yeah. Call me Mr. Mond, baby. Like,
Charles Mond, get it? I don't get it. Okay. Fair enough. Hey, great idea. Let's lens on that.
What are we doing?
Oh, the worst.
Yeah.
It's real bad.
I think I would recommend a car dealership that's just like, hi, I'm Kevin. We have cars here. Come on down and buy these cars. Like, yes, that's what I want. Thank you.
Well, I'll keep you guys updated. You, the podcast listener. By the way, there is a car driving around with a mascot wedding sticker on the back. I see it at my place of employment.
What?
And I think it's a Jeep. And not only does it have an old school, it's the one we did with. It's got a picture of Colin Farrell from Alexander.
Oh.
And it says, Fortune Favors the Bold, the mascot wedding show. That was used to be our mantra.
That's right.
And well, I don't know if it still is.
I think it's we'll work for food is our mantra now.
Well, that's the other thing. On the back of the car and its rear window or whatever, painted in shoe polish, is a big slice of pizza. And I'm like, oh, who drives this car? They're badass.
This is like the Mac Blake bait car.
Well, that's what I meant to say. She said, my girlfriend said it was a Mac trap. I was gonna find out who that car was, and then
stack of comics in the.
That had to be a good day when the first time you spotted that car with that sticker on there, though.
I did quite a double take.
Yeah.
Turns out it's just maybe somebody wants to touch my gas button.
Oh, your gas button.
On my butt.
What?
Like, I'll.
What? Righteous.
Sweet.
But like, I'll see, like, I know I have friends who have stickers of mascot wedding or stag on their car, and I know they have it on their car, and I know what their car looks like, but even I'll see their car and still get excited. It's like, oh that's Roger. Yeah, I know him.
Yeah,
but still, though, it's sweet to see that on in public.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I kind of want to find that person. I don't know if they'll just be like, oh, I liked it because it's mascot wedding show is written real small.
Yeah,
right. Maybe they just like the idea that someone made an Alexander sticker.
I think so, yeah.
Oliver Stone's Alexander. But I don't be like that show? That's right, it's me, your hero.
Like that show? Recognize this voice?
I am come home.
Yeah.
So, because of my car situation, I had to go to New Orleans recently.
Sorry.
But because of that, I rented a car.
Okay.
But that's...
That's a weird...
It's a weird transition because this has nothing to do with renting a car. So, but here you go. Long story short, I'm on this road trip.
Yeah.
Oh, this is not going to be a short story. Sorry. Let's edit that out of the podcast.
Just a short road trip story.
Yeah.
And so I'm driving from, to get to New Orleans, you got to drive from Austin to Houston. Mm. And there's this place that, or there's this business that has a lot of billboards along the route from Austin to Houston. Mm. And David, maybe you're familiar with it. It's TexasDirectAuto.com.
Oh, you bet I am.
And these billboards, if you're close to Austin or close to Houston, they have stuff like, hey, we'll buy your old used car. You know, sell us your used car. Best prices in town. TexasDirectAuto.com. We'll buy your car. And then maybe they'll have a picture of like a dog. That'll, you know, it doesn't even like mention the dog. It's just like, we're loyal to you, our customers. TexasDirectAuto.com. We'll buy your car.
Yeah.
However, they're all business around Austin, Houston. In between, like the route... Like right in the middle of nowhere, those signs get real sexual.
Oh, yeah.
Like it starts out, it's like, You got junk in your trunk? We'll buy, like, TexasTrackDaughter.com. We'll buy your car. Yeah.
Help us unload you.
Yeah, but then this one was like, hey, nice headlights. That's what it says. But it really is like this weird, like, rapey vibe. It's like once you're out of the city, it's like, hey, ain't no one coming for you. TexasTrackDaughter.com. We'll buy your car.
Look at the way your car's dressed.
Yeah. It is. It's like so creepy.
Do you need someone to walk you to your car?
Yeah. I mean, if it was in the big city, or big city, if it was in the cities, you'd be like, okay, that's just how they are. But the fact that they waited until no one else is around. Like, they're on there like, hey, cool, taking a road trip together. Then you get out and you're like, kick-a-poo or whatever. Yeah, yeah, and they're like, hey, what's up? Hey, you, I see the way you're looking.
You look real good over there. There ain't no one around.
With your car.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw you leave those wet spots in that parking space. how about we do something about it?
Nice caboose. Talking about your ass. TexasTrackDaughter.com. We'll buy your car.
Oh, there's... Oh. Yeah, that's a good sound.
But wet then mouth. When you get across the or close to the Louisiana border, it all has to do with gambling.
Oh, sure does.
Yeah, it's like, hey, luck will be a lady at TexasDaughter.com. So maybe in that, it's just appealing to what people like.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like city folk like dogs and straight talking, country folk like perfect.
Yeah.
Louisiana folk like gambling.
Man, here at Texas Auto Direct, we're just like you. We like butt fucking. So come on, sell us a car.
Oh, maybe they actually did an actual census of like what appeals to you as a customer. And those people in the middle of nowhere were just like, rape.
I like when women have big juicy mouths.
Yeah, this highfalutin ad agency, like the top floor of a New York skyscraper, is like, well, people in Giddings do like fingering children. I'm like, all right, I guess that's what we're making.
What do you look for in a car? I like it when a girl's button on a shirt pops open and she don't know it yet. Also, just, you know, straight talk, fair prices. Oh boy, well, we got a demographic challenge here. Yeah.
What does this Venn diagram look like? Okay, here we go.
I actually have four mock-ups. If you just let me show you all of them.
I made this Venn diagram just kind of look like a big juicy butt. Well, that's the one I want.
This Venn diagram's wearing jean short shorts.
Hey, I'm gonna fuck that Venn diagram. I'm gonna let you know now, man.
Is that Swedish? Get over here. Honey, put in your Venn diagram. I don't want no babies.
Oh, God damn it.
I want no
babies. TradeAuto.com.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really making some friends today.
Yeah.
The corporate interests.
Oh. What if I show up to Charles Mond? And it's like, so all you need to do is sign this paper. I'm about to sign it. He goes, wait a second. Are you the Mac Blake? I'm like, uh-oh. Well, Adam, I'm surprised you want to buy a car from a racist.
Then all you have to say is, yeah, baby, and you got a car.
And back on his good grace. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I like you, baby. I don't know why you fucking talk about that in real life.
I would definitely pay at least $1,000 more for a car if, in order to close the deal, I'd be like, I want Charles Mond's racist Asian character to come in and buy a car from him.
Slow motion watching him like buck his teeth like, here we go. Yeah.
I found another awesome transition. I was looking around the internet and I found one of the worst things I've ever found.
All right.
And I don't remember how I got there. So your typical sort of internet rabbit hole, just like clicking around, searching for something.
Saturday night Coke yank.
Coke yank?
Yeah, you coked up. You want to, you know, just dump slop real quick.
That's a Sunday.
Real quick, but as I understand, does that still work? Doesn't coke up your dick?
Oh, it cokes up your dick, but you don't know because you're on Coke.
Do you ever get confused and thought you dump slop, but you didn't?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I was about to say, because if you've ever done mushrooms, one of the weirdest parts. Brian Gutman, have you ever done
mushrooms? Brian Gutman, ever done mushrooms?
I haven't.
Oh, you're missing out.
When are we? Is that a segment of the show?
Maybe for your quinceañera, apparently.
I haven't done it. I haven't.
I know.
Don't bring me the mushrooms. Where's that Puerto Rican who hasn't done drugs yet? Hey, puppy, LSD.
But one of the weirdest things about doing mushrooms is when you do use the bathroom, when you go pee, you feel like you're never going to stop peeing. Like you've stopped and you look down and you're like, okay, I'm done, but it's gonna keep going for the rest of my life. Like that is a thought that crosses your mind. It's like, oh, what if someone comes in and, like, I can't leave the toilet because I'm still peeing? This is a fun look behind the what happens when you do mushrooms.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, I look forward to that.
I'm going to.
All right. Anyway, what were you saying about your quinceañera?
Man, I'll say this. If there was a suicide booth next to that came in every bathroom, I think the suicides in this country would go up 10,000-fold. Not accidental. Uh-huh. I think in the bathroom where a lot of stuff where you're just like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
You get the scale on there. Got a lot of mirrors. You got to look at yourself in the face in the morning. The other day, you know, gentlemen, this is going to get kind of gross.
All right,
Mom and Dad, turn off the podcast now. after you've splooged.
Sure.
Sometimes when you're peeing, it's like you got that one drop still stuck in there. You know what I'm talking about? That feeling? I had that feeling the other day in the morning, just from nothing. I just was like.
Just from a good dream.
I was like, man, is this going to be how things are now? If there was a suitcase full of, like, a razor blade suitcase, if you will, I'd throw my face in there. And not that hit album by that band, Boosh.
Of course not.
That is a weird thing about getting older, is any new thing that happens to your body, like, so is this till the day I die?
Yeah. I'm like this now, forever, yeah.
So this little twinge in my shoulder, forever? Just for this is me now?
Yeah, my neck has been stiff for the past 2 months, and I'm just like, this is my life now.
Yes, and then I see some old man at the grocery store who is the shape of a letter in our alphabet. And I just think, not me. Fuck that. And then you have that moment of like, ow, and then it's like, oh yeah, I have no real control over, like, as soon as that happens,
yeah,
it happens.
What if I'm already like that? I just look better than he does. Like, yeah. Right, oh, yeah. Hey, I'm dribbling a little bit of piss in my pants every time I'm done. Like, is that going to happen forever now? Yeah.
Oh, aging. Let's cut it out.
And then Logan's people will come up to you and be like, I like that Louis C.K. bit where he talks about a shitty knee. And you're like, yeah, that makes me feel a lot better. Thanks.
Great.
Now I feel good.
Now I'm in pain and I'm a hack, too.
Yeah,
thank you.
Exactly. I wasn't making a bit. I was just talking about my shitty body. But the fact that someone made a joke about it, now I don't want to kill myself. Yeah, my shoulder hurts and it like doesn't go away sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like when I stretch it and I'm like, okay, well, that's got to be surgery, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, I'm just gonna deal with that, I guess.
Never throw a ball again.
Yeah
So, well, either
it's my left arm, so I'm safe.
So I either live with this or I get a plastic shoulder.
Yeah
Oh, God.
And then when you do the trade-off math in your head where it's like, well, I really don't lift my hand that much anymore, so maybe I could do without it.
Oh, God.
Man, speaking of trade-off math, I need to start doing some yoga because I don't want to be that old man.
I know.
Like, I'm a tall guy. I don't got the best posture in the world.
Yeah.
I feel like, it's like, hey, my feet were closer today than they were yesterday. Who knows? My posture.
BG, what's your workout routine?
Real sporadic. I try to do something with it. And I'm really, really bad at it. Like, I can get on a streak if I maybe have, like, a goal. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to look good for that wedding, bro? Or whatever it is. Or you know you're going to be on the lake. That is a no-shirt situation. Mm-hmm. And, like, but as soon as that finish line is crossed, I tell myself that very next day of, like, you did it, buddy. You just keep at it. And it never happened. Like, it just, and then the next day, it's just like, beer, tacos, and I just go right back to being a mess.
Yeah.
It's so up and down, and I hate that about myself.
It's the worst. Like, when you hit a goal and you're like, I've earned this entire cake, and then you eat and like, well, I'll never get back there again.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating because it is so clearly, like, think of all the things that you want to do, all these goals you have, that actually have legitimate steps and things that also involve chance and all this. Like, I want to do even like, okay, like comedy, I want to do this. And it's like, well, you have to do this, this, and this and work at it every single day. And then maybe if people see it and they happen to like all these things, mm-hmm. but then simply being a healthy adult human being is simply like, don't eat that.
Yeah.
And just, it's the smallest amount of steps you would really have to do. And it's still like, well, this is impossible.
Yeah, because
how?
Well, because the issue is,
let me drink this beer real quick.
Second one in the morning.
Yeah, I only have one too.
Because it's unrelenting. Like with comedy, it's like, all right, you know, I go out there every night and I'll do 5 minutes and then I'll go home and I'll write some more. But like, your health is something you have to think about all the time, or at least for me. Like,
yeah.
Every meal of my day and every step I take is like, okay, got to take the stairs instead of the elevator because, you know, I put on a pound and a half today. Like,
yeah,
it wears on you so much. And then, like, sleeping patterns affect it, stress affects it.
Yeah, and the last time I really made one of those pushes to get back on track, and I pulled it off for the most part, and it was just like this weak crunch of just eating salads and exercising every day. And I saw, like, I was like, I felt like I could see, like, oh, like a change.
Yeah.
But then I thought, because I went at it so intensely every day and just eating lettuce and working out. And then I just thought, is that what I have to do forever? Is that level of...
Yeah.
Because
to get here, I kind of redlined as it is.
Yeah.
Do I need a redline for the rest of my life?
Forever till death.
Yeah. It's a bummer. And the worst part is I eat my feelings. So when I do have that realization, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to go wing out for a couple days.
I'm going to wing out.
But it's tough because that mindset of small steps now add up later.
Yeah.
Like that kind of, you know, pounding the rock mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that idea like, oh, you realize it's a process.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that for other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm not going to get like Letterman tomorrow or something.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Well, probably never. Right. But like, even if he was on perpetuity, probably not happening. But then I'd be like, I can't control everything. I just got to, you know, work and getting better.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's like, oh, I got to do that for everything? It's 12 and I want Taco Bell. Fuck
yeah.
You. Like, it's tough.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like, I can do that for other things. But then when it comes time to eat, I'm just fucking hungry, man. Yeah,
I'm only human.
Got time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to also accept the idea of that chipping away mentality with something that is so closely tied to your low self-esteem, which is your body.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't want this like eventual someday way in the future idea of improvement when it comes to brushing my teeth in the morning, just being like, oh, that thing in the mirror isn't helping.
Yeah. I've got underboob now. I want to get rid of it now.
Yeah.
But
get
that
away.
Idea of it being within your control, though, is maddening. And I don't, it's something, that's the stuff that hurts the most. Because, I mean, to a certain extent, like comedy, it's not all in our control.
Right.
Like, granted, I could move to LA and stop being here in Austin. But, you know, but it's like, well, I mean, you know, things have to fall into place. But with, you know, eating, it's like, that's mostly on you. If I put more effort into it, it would come around.
Yeah, I know.
But fuck it. Burgers.
Burgers.
Okay, so here's the thing I just teased.
Oh, yes.
20
the
minutes
worst
ago.
Thing ever.
It's from the website WikiHow. So I guess it's like a how-to wiki.
Sure.
Okay.
And this is how to convince your parents to move.
What?
Interesting.
That is the name of this article. Maybe you're sick and tired of the house you're living in. Maybe you don't like the area. You want to live close to a friend or school, comma, or you have new friends or no friends, and kids at school treat you bad. Bingo.
Yeah. Why did you just
ding,
start?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I found it. This, by the way, clearly written from a kid's perspective.
Yeah.
Because I think once you reach an adult, you know, it's like, oh, your homes cost money, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, little boy, would you like to live with better sanitation? No. You're getting picked on at school. You want to move.
Yeah, we didn't live here because we're, oh, well.
They built a house around us.
Whatever it is, you want to move. I know what it is. But how can you convince your parents to move? And as you can see, this is accompanied by... For a kid, pretty good illustrations.
Kid.
A kid scratches his head, thought bubble, house.
Number one. By the way, I'm tempted to read all these and I might. Why
do
not?
It.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Number one, begin by showing frustration with things about the house or area that you are living in. For example, ugh, I'm so sick of how small my room is. There's barely room for anything. Or, I wish something about the house would be different. God, imagine coming home from work and your fucking kid was like, my room's small. I'd be like, fuck you.
Or the second example of like, I wish something about this house was different.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this vague complaint?
You catty housewife. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Most of this is that. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez, Mom, maybe we both wouldn't be so frantic to leave every morning if we didn't live so far from school.
What?
Or, and then here we go. Here's the another one. Dad, I'm sick of living here. Okay, and there's more. Okay, here we go. Step two. Go online and look at where you would like to live and subtly drop hints about the area or the type of house you'd rather live in. For example, Dad, it's so hot. Or, Dad, it's so pretty out by the country club. There we go.
Wow.
You know, talk about your country club.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Daddy.
God. Daddy.
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 I think it would be cool to live in a house with a basement so we could store our stuff down there. That would be cool.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
If we live near there, I could walk to school. All right. Yeah.
That's thinking. Yeah.
Three.
Oh, this is why this kid has no friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wants to live closer to school.
He's too civic minded.
I wish I could walk to school and have friends.
Yeah. Here's also a tip for creepy husbands. Number three, go on the internet and look up houses you want to live in and bookmark the pages in your bookmarks toolbar. Your parents are likely to find them and ask you about them. For example, sweetie, what is this page? Why do I need examples of what my mom would ask me?
And then you'll say, well, mother, it's this.
Oh, mom, that's just a house. Well, why? Because it's a really nice house, really nice area. I was just looking. So it also works if how to convince your wife to have anal sex.
Yeah, there you go. This picture's of buttholes.
They get that Venn diagram on there.
Number four, next time your parents show any kind of stress. Oh, I hate this one.
Oh.
Next time your parents show any kind of stress about the house, tell them you should move. But say it sarcastically.
Oh.
They will probably respond seriously with, do you really want to? God, I can't get out of the house anymore. You know, this door is broken in this closet. Oh, maybe we should live in a better house. Wait, hold on a second.
What did you say?
Billy, did you really... Do you really want to move?
Because I know you're having fun. You're needling me a little bit, but that's a good idea, Billy.
Yeah, Mom, you know what? I was needling you, but... Yeah, kinda.
Oh my God, that house is gonna feel a lot bigger when that kid dies.
When they do that, look them in the eye and say yes. They know now that you want to move, and you have to act fast before they forget it or lose interest. Oh my God, parents aren't dogs. Number five, whenever you pass open houses, beg to go inside and just have a look.
This makes me think, because they use the word subtle a couple times. I feel like they don't know what that word means.
No.
It's like, subtly say, I hate living here.
Yeah, exactly. They're just going to...
I hate living in this house.
They're just going to floor it. I hate you, Mom and Dad. Move me.
At this point, I don't think your parents are going to care if you're getting beaten up. If you're that kid who's like, oh, Mommy and Daddy, an open house. Can we go? I want to peruse the new Pulte homes.
The Pulte homes.
Six. Call your parents into the room to look when you find a nice house on the internet or the newspaper.
Ugh.
Dad, look, Dad, come here. What is it, boy?
I got my shoes off. It better be important.
Dad, look at what's on my computer.
What? It's a picture of a house. So what?
Yeah, it's a good house.
Yeah, no, it's a good looking house. Why are you showing this to me?
Do you want me to show you a 3D tour?
What the fuck are you doing? Yeah, is this a WikiHow for how to get your parents to call you a cunt?
Yeah. Number seven. Now you need to talk. Write your parents a note and put it on their desk saying, meet me in the living room for a chat at 6. If it's a bad time, we can reschedule. It may seem silly, but it'll get them to talk to you.
I hate this.
Yeah, it'll
so
get
much.
Them to talk. I know, it's the worst. It's the fucking worst. You spend much finding something like, again, you're working, right? You come home, you're tired. You see some note. What if some kid of yours left you a note like, we need to talk. Me and for a chat, if it's a bad time, we can reschedule. Some fucking 7-year-old leaving this note. 12-year-old kid.
I would wake that kid up from a nap.
Billy, what? What, Billy? I want to move. Okay, cool.
The rest of his life would be looking, doing house searches, trying to figure out where his parents secretly moved to.
Yeah. All right, number
Using
eight.
Using Google Satellite. Is that my dad?
I miss you so much.
Why do I still have a computer?
Eight, make a list on a sticky note of cons about your house and pros about moving. And keep it with you to peek at when you get stuck. I hate this cons about the house because it's like, oh, hey, breadwinner, you're a failure for buying us a shitty house.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. This isn't good enough for me.
Oh.
A kid, oh.
I know.
Kids are stupid. We'll just, yeah, I don't know.
It gets worse. Nine, start by telling them you want to be taken seriously and say very clearly, I want to move and I want you to listen.
Oh.
If it's a no, try it again in a few months. Don't pester them in the meantime. Too fucking late.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
If it's, we need to think about it, let them. Don't bug them about it. If after 3 weeks they haven't said a word about moving, bring it up again. If it's a yes, congratulations! And number 10, here, describe, hold on, describe what this little boy is doing, Brian.
Oh, man.
Just describe what
okay,
he's doing.
Okay, so this little boy is sitting on a stoop, a front stoop, like a little step. His chin resting in his hands.
Okay, and then
looking,
now what is he saying?
Sad. He's saying, I can't chase my dreams.
Number 10.
I can't chase my dreams.
Convince your parents you can't chase your dreams living in your current era. Oh. What are your dreams?
What are your dreams?
Well, I can't chase my dreams. Only playing Xbox.
I can't chase my dreams.
And number 11, bingo. We finally fucking peel this onion. Tell your parents.
Punched at school.
Yeah, exactly. Tell your parents the kids at school don't treat you like the other kids and that you didn't like it. This is this wiki how to be a coward.
Yeah, exactly. This is the most roundabout way of saying, hey, I don't want to be kicked at school anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be a snitch, but at the same time, we've got to go.
Right.
Like, I've never read those Diary of a Wimpy Kid, but is it this? Is it like, someone's picking on you. And as we all know, there's nothing you could do about it. It will continue forever. You have loser stink on you. Only solution, move to Smartville.
Yeah. That whole first book is about him getting the house appraised. Yeah. Like, you know what our value is right now.
Let's move to Westlake. There's no bullies in Westlake.
And the streets are made of dreams.
No one pulls down your cargo shorts. You like the pockets for keeping activities? If they say, number 12, if they say, we don't need to, tell them and point out major issues in the house. Fuck you.
Like my scars.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm too big for this crawl space that I hide into.
Tell them that you would benefit all of the family. What? That's making their file up. This spelling is off the
right. No, I think that's right, because it's like, hey, I would shut up if you bought a new house. That's a benefit to the family.
This particular step with all the typos, he's trying to type out as he was stuffed in a locker.
Yeah, exactly. His head's in a turlet right now.
Yeah, he's mane swirly. Just like, tell them you'll
be a benefit to family. Number final step 14, show them a website and have backup about why that would be a good place to live. More backup equals a better chance of yes. And then in the tip section, I don't know if people wrote these down or whatever, but one is attack your parents' weaknesses.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Your dad slash their ankles.
Exactly. Fucking Batman here.
I could say with some level of certainty, my parents loved me when I was a kid. But if I did any of those, like thinking of all of those, they would have, at the very least, spanked me.
Yeah.
Like, this petulant kid, fuck you.
No, man. All this fucking planning, but no, like, what can you afford? Like, money's no object for this kid.
Yeah. It's like, I can't even wrap my head around what my parents would say, because I can't even conceive of a reality where I would have presented this weird case.
You had the fucking balls.
Yeah.
On a very basic level, this wiki how was obviously written by someone who's never done this.
Is 8 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like like wishful. Like, I want to hear this kid like how to kiss a girl. It's like, first, know the secret code. Second, bake them a cake and leave it in their locker. Don't tell them who it's from.
I think you're being much too kind of to be like, step one, lean in for a kiss. When they say no, start crying and pretend you really want it. Yeah.
Step two, be really nice, but never tell them your feelings. They'll figure it out. Yeah.
Draw a picture of the two you kissing. List benefits to kissing you.
When her boyfriend's fucking her, offer to wipe off his dick.
Maybe make a list of suggestions of what would happen if she didn't kiss you.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Be her boyfriend when she's sleeping.
Break in her house and kiss her on the mouth when she's asleep. She'll know it's you.
Because congratulations.
Develop a signature musk.
Oh, underused word, musk.
sweat it out pudding. Yeah. I can really smell the pudding you sweat it out. Speaking of sweating out pudding, we gotta wrap it up.
No! Oh, Zoo Crew for life!
We can do this. Mr. Zoo Crew for life. CC4F. Wait,
L. L.
That's right. For L. That's right.
For life.
Zoo Crew for fuck. That's what I meant.
For Logan.
Oh, Brian Gutman.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to find out more information about you, where the fuck you gonna be, how do they do that?
If they wish to. There's at Brian Gutman on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget that sweet Instagram. BrianGutman.com, which will hopefully soon be updated.
And, you're recording an album.
Yeah.
Plans have been announced by your record label.
That's a supportive laugh, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to be in early in 2015, like maybe around like the March-ish time. So early springs.
At the very least, we'll have you back on for that.
I would love that.
If not,
no doubt.
Yeah.
You're
going to be great.
Show, yeah.
I know, I'm friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Show's friend of me.
Of course.
Well,
yeah. BrianGutman.com and all that stuff. Just Google me, everybody.
And that's Gutman, G-U-T.
M-A-N-N.
Gutman.
Look how it's spelled on the podcast you're listening to right now.
Oh, I guess we got to put your real name on there.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
David Hotta.
Yep.
How should we hold on a second? And of course, if you want to see David Hotta live and in person, the second Thursday of every month, 10 p.m., The Hustle Show.
Yeah, Cold Town Theater.
Austin's the most hustling comedy variety show.
That is correct. Yeah.
That's right. And
where are they finding Mac Blake?
They can see Mac Blake the second and fourth Monday of every month at Spider House Ballroom. It's called Jazz Cigarette. It's a show I co-host with Joe Hafke. David, how should we leave the show today?
Let's leave the show let's leave the show.
Ooh. Brian, would you like to leave the show with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm there. I'm in.
You said, yeah, that was David, but I thought it was you.
Ooh.
Hey, maybe we're the Guardians of the Galaxy and we're being chased by aliens and whatnot.
Okay. Oh, God.
I've got the stone we need or something.
Oh, my gosh.
You got the stone?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, thank God.
Hey, is this your first time on a spaceship?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That's cool.
Wait, why are you looking at me like that? Wait, you're not going to eat us, are you?
No one rides for free.
You haven't even started the car yet. Space car.
Please don't call my spaceship a space car.
Let's get this space car moving.
Let me start it up.
Whee!
And now I'm diddling you.
Oh.
All the both.
That felt good.
Thank you. Did you space orgasm? Is that what that sound meant?
Are you using the stone right now?
I am.
Oh, that feels good.
Wait.
You are.
I'm using the stone.
It's
what
a double-headed stone.
Hold on a second. And I'm done.
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.